Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's all-in-one whole body shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off. Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season and enjoy getting the nutrition you need. There are endless ways to personalize your Kachava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
Welcome into the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I'm Chase Goodbread, the sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, along with Travis Ryer. Be sure to check out Ryer on YouTube and all the great content there. Like it, subscribe it, get those notifications so you know what Travis is putting up next on Ryer on YouTube. A lot of really good Alabama football related content, of course, including Talking Tide. We're going to be looking ahead to the Crimson Tide's college football playoff matchup at Oklahoma coming up on Friday evening. We'll talk a little bit tonight about a couple of the other CFP matchups, maybe briefly touch on Alabama basketball. But of course, first things first, Travis, it's college football playoff preview time here on the podcast. Alabama lifting the lid, as they say, on Friday ahead of 3 Saturday games, primetime in Norman.
Yeah, I'd say ESPN getting the marquee matchups Friday night early on Saturday, and then the NFL kind of takes over the rest of the day. But absolutely intriguing matchup. You see out in Vegas that -1 still up there next to Alabama. Yeah. On those big boards in those sports books, Chase.
I don't get it, Big Dan.
I'm in the same boat with you on that one. Although I will say this, and I know we'll get more into this. Oklahoma didn't exactly finish strong. It did get that win over Alabama in Tuscaloosa, but I think it was just 17 points against Missouri at home. Just 17 against LSU, and understanding Missouri, LSU solid to very good type of defenses, but it's not like Oklahoma sprinted through the finish right after knocking off Alabama and Tuscaloosa.
Nice. I think it's a fair point, and I think a lot of people are looking at, let me phrase it this way. The way Alabama has trended over the last couple of games has taken some attention off of how Oklahoma has finished, right? I mean, the way Alabama really just dropped a stinker in Atlanta against Georgia raised so many eyebrows that I think all the intention right now is really why Alabama is driving with 2 flat tires on offense and whether they can get any air in them before they go to Norman. Well, Oklahoma's offense isn't lighting it up either right now.
No, I mean, the game in Tuscaloosa, really, you think about the 23 points, 16 of those came from the offense. Just 1 offensive touchdown, right? 3 field goals from the Groza Award winner, which that's a big part of this game potentially too, when we talk about kicking game, because it obviously was an issue not only for Alabama in the loss to Oklahoma, but then again in that SEC championship loss to Georgia.
Turnover's a big deal for Alabama the last 2 games against OU, right? I mean, if you add up the turnover factor from Bryant-Denny Stadium about a month ago and plus the turnover factor in Norman last year, I mean, that's been Alabama's bugaboo in this game. Is it 6 turnovers, right? 3-3 or was it 4-3? Yep. Yeah.
3-3 and minus 5 in turnover margin in those two games. That'll get you beat.
Every time, no matter where you're playing.
No, no. And that's sort of the Venables OU recipe. When you look at how Oklahoma has gotten to this point, it's been in large part over the second half of the season, not only taking the football away, but doing it in a way in which it made life very easy or easier for that offense. Because, again, it hasn't exactly been fireworks. You know, for OU, there are certainly some pieces that you have to concern yourself with defensively. If you're Kane Womack, I think quarterback runs with John Mateer is at the top of that list. We heard Kane Womack talk about, I think today, about the perimeter game, the quick game. You know that's coming, especially with the success Georgia had with it. And I think Alabama at times, though, against Georgia was really good. But there didn't seem to be, you know, kind of much of a middle ground there. So I think that's going to be a big point of emphasis for this Alabama defense as well. And if OU can stay on those short fields, they're going to like their chances. Although, you know, this game, again, if it's 0-0 in turnovers for both these offenses, you know, it could be the first of 21 or so, which kind of is what it was in Tuscaloosa that wins this game.
Yeah, I don't expect a high scoring game on either end. I think 20 points might win this thing. Mm-hmm. Weather's supposed to be cold. I haven't looked at the forecast yet, but I do understand it'll be pretty nippy. I don't think there's snow in the forecast, at least the last time I checked. But it's defense and special teams is going to play a huge role. We know OU special teams are outstanding. Alabama's defense, I think, may have to carry the day, Travis, although, you know, it's going to be tough without LT Overton. Kalen DeBoer called him doubtful. I think the injury report tonight just came out right before we came on air. Is he out? Is that
right? He's out. Yeah, he's out. So officially designated as out. I guess Kelby Collins, though, good to go for this one.
Yeah, right.
After being out. So that's something you didn't have. That at least gives you some more options at those type of spots to go along with Edrick Hill and Jordan Renaud. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say still no Kevin Riley either. Still
no
out.
Kevin Riley at the running back position. Sounds like Jam Miller's going to be able to go. That's the whole thing for this game. Answers for Alabama. And not just in terms of, you know, what can Ryan Grubb and Kane Womack kind of draw up, but personnel, exactly who are we going to see? I mean, we heard from Ryan Grubb earlier today. That sounded very optimistic, what we heard from him in relation to Cam Dewberry, in relation to Josh Cuevas, who caught 6 for 80 in that first matchup with the Sooners, and Jam Miller. Now, you're still not really going to know until you see pregame warmups first and foremost, and then kind of get into the game. But it's those type of answers. It's that time of the season where you have to have answers when you're not exactly trending in a great direction.
They need Josh Cuevas in a big way on that offense, and I was a little bit surprised, frankly, to see him pop up as questionable on the report, because for 2 days now, whether it's been Kalen DeBoer or Ryan Grubb or the players, Ty Simpson, when he spoke on Monday, they all pretty much gave Cuevas the double thumbs up is what it sounded like to me. We're excited to have him back. You know, it's great to have him back in the huddle, comments like that. And then he pops up questionable on the injury report. But I take what people said more seriously than that report, Travis. I think we're going to be seeing Josh Cuevas. Now, is he
to what extent? Yeah.
Right, right. How many snaps can they give him? How effective can he be in those snaps? Obviously, those are big question marks. But he's going to play, certainly sounds like.
Sounds like he's going to give it a go for sure. This LT Overton situation, this illness, this medical issue, it's a mystery, I guess, in terms of what exactly is going on with him. Obviously, first and foremost, you hope big picture wise, everything works out for the best for LT Overton. But that one just sort of came out of the blue Georgia week, and trying to navigate exactly what the deal is there, Chase, is one of those things that it sounds like still trying to figure out.
Yeah. It's been very little detail and no detail really revealed on what it is. Some kind of a medical issue, and you certainly hope for the best for him. But I wouldn't expect to see him back anytime soon. I mean, for DeBoer to describe him as doubtful as he did Monday, to me, that at least suggests that it's not impossible for him to get back on the field at some point. Because DeBoer just as easily could have said he's out, and which he's not afraid to do that. He doesn't mind telling you somebody's out if they're going to be out.
Right.
But he will be missed in that lineup. There's no question about it. Renaud, Hill, they got to get some pass rush out of these guys up front. I asked Womack about it today, and you know, he basically said they've been shuffling personnel groups trying to get the pass rush right for weeks now. And so I think his point was that even though LT Overton is a big loss, they've tried so many combinations at this point to get heat on the quarterback that the adjustment isn't such a big deal, right?
Yeah, Keon Keeley, you would think, could be a part of that in certain situations. That's what's been the case, even when Overton was available in sort of some, you know, nickel and dime looks on third and long. So I'd expect that to continue to be the case as well. We've got Terry D. Trust chiming in here in the show chat. His is more of an offensive question, Chase. He wants to know, do you think there will be a lot of 11 and 12 personnel? I think, well, Terry, it's pretty much what they are, is 11 and 12 personnel. Now, Quavis's presence could maybe shift that somewhat, but they kind of are who they are now from that perspective, right?
They are, and I would kind of lean toward 11 rather than 12, especially when you don't know quite what you're going to get out of Quavis. Probably more likely to see three wide receivers out there than two. I think there's a higher level of confidence, I think, Travis, among the coaching staff in maybe the third and fourth receivers than the second and third tight ends on the whole. Speaking of tight end injuries, missing Danny Lewis again. Been a while. Talk about a guy that's had a tough year. I mean, he's been on that injury report more than he's been off.
Yeah, I think he's questionable tonight on the latest one, wasn't he?
Yeah. So at any rate, to me, we're going to see a lot more of the Jeremy Williams Brooks or Jeremy Horton Brooks trio than we'll see of two tight ends.
Sprinkling of Rico Scott, maybe some Derek Meadows in there.
Yeah, you get that 12 personnel in there, you're third and one or you're on the goal line, you're going to see more of that. Maybe three tight ends if you're on the goal line, but not as much elsewhere.
I go both ways with 11 and 12 because with Quavis, I like 12 and I like play action out of 12. You know, when they go under center out of two tights and the play action stuff, especially in the first 6 to 8 games of the season, that was dynamite. But against this OU defense, I don't mind more spreading of the field and let's get the ball out quicker. Not anticipating pressure on every snap, but almost with the mindset of regardless of whether or not OU's bringing extra people or not, ball needs to come out, which from the OU injury side of things plays into that with R. Mason Thomas and his availability this week for the OU edge defender.
Interesting comments, I thought, too, from Ryan Grubb, speaking of that Oklahoma defense. Two comments he made that I think are very much tied together. First, out of the gate, he was asked what OU's defense does well, and his answer in short was create confusion. Mm-hmm. And then he was asked, what does Alabama need to do well? And he said, communicate. Well, those two answers are tied to the hip with each other, are they not?
They are. They are. And they kind of go back to your quarterback and how – the picture is looking to him on a snap by snap basis. And I thought it was pretty evident in that first go around with OU that Venables and that defensive staff did a very nice job of kind of getting into Ty Simpson's head. Now you say that and you look at his numbers once you get away from the takeaways, which is hard to do in a game like that, pretty good stuff. But I think that's where Quavis is a big answer for this offense against that kind of stuff. Okay, you want to get exotic, you want to do some different things. Well, you know, here's our tight end in the middle of the field who can also run after the catch. Deal with that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that slows you down. Things that can kind of slow down that momentum or that roll once it gets going, because as much as anything, it can snowball on a quarterback pretty quickly.
Yeah, especially a quarterback that doesn't have any kind of a running game to help him out. We saw that certainly against Georgia. What about the running game, Travis? Can Alabama breathe any life into it at all? We saw it come to life against Auburn. And Auburn, it's not like Auburn was in September. No. So, you know, and on the road, like it's going to be against a defense like this, there's got to be a little bit of balance. And we talked about this. You don't have to run for 150, but you can't run for nothing.
And I thought they ran for enough the first time around. I mean, they only ran for 80 yards after sacks were taken out. But Daniel Hill, 15 for 60 and a couple of touchdowns in that first matchup. Yeah. And I'm a big scrimmage yards guy. So, and once you put his 37 receiving yards in there, you know, he's right at 100 yards on 20 touches. You know, if you were told just in a pure rushing sense, Daniel Hill was going to go 20 for 100, you would have taken that, you know, in that first go round. So if they can even get something like that from a Hill and or Jam Miller, you know, something in excess of 100 yards, 150 yards, scrimmage yards, because I think if Quavis isn't really good to go, they're going to have to get it from the backs. And maybe Caleb Edwards, you know, it came at a point when the game felt it was pretty much out of hand for Alabama, but there were still some decent things. He had a 25-yard catch against OU. So he's seen the ball go through the hoop against this defense himself. Yeah, I mean, when you think about it the first time around, the tight ends, Quavis, 6 for 80. Caleb Edwards had a catch for 25. Your two tight ends were over 100, you know, receiving yards in the game. So, yeah, you get something like that again from that position to go along with, you know, what Hill gave you in terms of the sum total. You could live with that, I think, and take care of the ball. I mean, if you're taking care of the ball, it kind of takes care of a lot of things.
No doubt. And as we've talked about,
indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's all-in-one whole body shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.
The three turnovers killed Alabama in that loss to Oklahoma, but they moved the ball okay. 406 total yards. You noted the rushing success. Tight ends heavily involved. Ty Simpson threw for 326 in that game. He had a huge pick six in the worst part of the field. Went back 87 yards. So it's could have been a 14-point swing. But based on what we've seen from Ty Simpson of late, his numbers against Oklahoma, 28 out of 42 for 326. Alabama fans would take a repeat of that all day long.
They absolutely would. You know, and the kicking game that we alluded to earlier, you just can't get crushed again in that, because that had just as much to do with it. You had the blocked field goal right before the end of the first half that created sort of snapper gate for Alabama. And then Satain, you hurt you with the 42-yard punt return. You got to count for him both in the quick game. You know, they like to try to create punt returns for Isaiah Satain on offense. Mm-hmm. They'll throw it out there to him because he's a very good punt returner. And you don't have to win the kicking game, but you can't get crushed again, you know, and it happened too much against Georgia too. So that's an answer that you need from Alabama going into this game Friday night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. John Mateer, look at his numbers real quick for the year. He's been up and down.
He's okay.
Yeah. He started out pretty well, and it's gone downhill for him a little.
He had the thumb injury.
Yeah. thumb injury sent him back midseason. And when he came back, he wasn't the same guy. He played hurt a little bit. I want to say he might have come back against Texas, but
came back quick against Texas and they got thumped.
12 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions for him on the year. Despite Ty Simpson's struggles, I still think it's edge Alabama quarterback wise.
I would too, especially if Alabama does a good enough job against Xavier Robinson in that run game, which they did last time. Mm-hmm. You know, Robinson hurt him in Norman last year. Robinson is a chunk runner. He can produce the explosive runs. He's a bigger back, but he can still produce the explosives. He had 34 rushing yards on 10 carries against Alabama a month ago. So if you do a similar job on him and you take care of the perimeter and the quick game and those things, and you force John Mateer to have to sit in there and make throws, which he'll still try to extend even when you do that. You know, he is very comfortable in improv mode. But if you can get him into that kind of game, I think that gives Alabama opportunity to flip the script, which is ultimately what's got to happen in this series. As we talked about at the outset, it has been just a big crimson and cream wave in favor of OU in the turnover department. Alabama's got to figure out a way with this defense to get OU on the other side of that. LSU actually, I think, did a pretty good job of that the last time out and had every chance to win that game in Norman in the regular season finale. Credit OU. They got the job done. LSU busted a coverage late, easy touchdown pass to Satania. The one guy you have to cover if you're LSU in that game, and they let him run free down the middle of the field. So that's, for me, how Alabama wins this game. If they're able to get back to being on the plus side and turnover margin, even by just one or two, I think they have a real chance to get the job done on the road.
Get you a draw in special teams, win the turnover battle by one, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. But if you're not doing either one of those things, it's going to be an uphill battle in Norman. I picked Oklahoma to win the game. Could not pick Alabama in good conscience coming off of what we saw against Georgia. I just could not do it, but I'm
with you. It's OU Alabama, but on this one, I'm Missouri, the show me state. I'm back to that with Alabama. When I see it again, okay, maybe we'll get back into that. But until I see it, is that kind of where you're at, Chase?
It is. And, you know, it's not that I don't think Alabama's capable of winning the game, because I do think they can win it. But yeah, show me, especially on offense, completely on offense. Look, the defense has been fine.
That was so inept. I mean, yeah.
The defense has been fine. And look, I understand against Georgia defensively, a couple of those touchdowns, for even though Georgia got all the short fields in Atlanta, you still want to force some field goals if you're Alabama's defense, right?
Red zone D. Yeah.
I mean, the defense was by no means perfect in that game, but it's offense is where it's at right now for Alabama in terms of improvement. They've got a long way to go. They got to find a running game. They got to keep Ty Simpson upright. They got to get Ryan Williams involved. They got to hope Quavis is Quavis. There's so many moving parts involved here that need to fall Alabama's way in order to win this game. They may fall the way they need to for Kalen DeBoer, but there's a lot of them.
There are, and to start this game, I wonder if maybe a double move to Ryan Williams early, somebody.
Get him going.
Back him up, because the pick six by OU was right about the time when we started to really see opposing defenses say, yeah, you got Ryan Williams, but we're not really worried about it for a couple of reasons. You don't really go there to him, and he's had his issues with drops. And also, we don't think you can protect well enough. Now, go 7-8 man protection early, I think, if you got to Friday night, and take a shot to somebody down the field, you know, because you got to back these guys up, because your run game, you know, they don't really have to come up and play you because of your run game. But there is so much documented footage of these crossing routes and this middle of the field attack that they've been very effective with. Alabama has it, you know, even Georgia this last time out said, you know what, if you can beat us on the corners and the deep corners and things like that, take your shots, but you ain't gonna beat us in the middle of the field. And that's another area where you're wondering where the answer is going to be.
Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Moving on. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks to our viewers. Want to ask you to contribute if you can to Parker Covers Alabama, 501c3 nonprofit supporting wheelchair residents of the state of Alabama. You can do it at parkercoversalabama.com. Again, supporting wheelchair Alabama residents. Thanks for anything that you can contribute here in this fine holiday season. The Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel coming out now, Travis, with a little bit more CFP talk. We'll touch on Alabama basketball as well before we get out of here. But thoughts from you, Travis, on this full plate of Saturday action in the CFP. The television won't be turned off for, 10, 12 hours. It's going to be a long day of college football.
Well, it'll depend on those G5s and those second and third games on Saturday, how long the television stays on college football anyway, because you will have NFL in the afternoon and at night. So, you know, we'll see. Ole Miss is very interesting because of the Lane train pulling out of town and heading to Baton Rouge. So how about Pete Golding's first game as Ole Miss head coach in a college football playoff? Now, it is a Tulane team that they hammered by 35 early in the season. So the expectation there is for Ole Miss to still take care of business, especially since you've got essentially, other than Lane, pretty much the offensive staff from throughout the season that's going to be there with Charlie Weiss Jr. In company. You know, I think that A&M Miami game Saturday is obviously the marquee matchup in College Station. And A&M's kind of like Alabama and Oklahoma, not exactly steamrolling, you know, into this playoff. So, you know, how do they respond? Miami, on the other hand, against what we understand to be very shaky competition, looks quite the opposite. Looks like a team full of momentum. I do not trust Carson Beck in that situation, but, you know, I'm not sure Marcel Reed for 60 minutes is a guy at the quarterback position you'd want to put all of your money on. Line of scrimmage game, man. I think if you love line of scrimmage football, Ole Miss and, I mean, excuse me, Miami and Texas A&M, that's going to be a good one with Elko and Mario.
I like all the home teams on Saturday, no doubt about it. And I guess, I can't remember if we talked about this the last time we podcast or not, Travis, but how does ABC not also have the Saturday night primetime game? I understand the reason why Oregon and James Madison gets the primetime is because ABC only has one game Saturday and it's the early game, right? So they're going to take the best game they can.
Is it then? Does ESPN have NFL on Saturday night? I don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah, from a broadcast perspective, that's what would make
This is the time of year where the NFL starts playing some Saturday games.
Yeah, you get the Saturday and the Saturday night games, I believe. So, I mean, ESPN's got the pick of the litter, though. It's TNT that's probably not all that thrilled. I mean, they'll take what they can get, and there'll still be a lot of eyeballs on Ole Miss, Tulane, and Oregon, James Madison, but certainly not to the extent that you're anticipating with OU, Alabama, and Miami and Texas A&M.
I'm afraid I might be on an airplane when that A&M Miami game kicks off. I'll be on that phone on the plane trying to pull that thing up. You know?
Yep. That is one of the beauties of YouTube TV, when YouTube TV does have ESPN ABC. Right. You get that Wi-Fi up at 35,000 feet, you can still get that multivision going, you know, watch a couple games if you want to.
No doubt about it. All right, Alabama basketball, Travis, we'll touch on it really quick. Obviously, a rough one for the Crimson Tide against Arizona, going down by 21 points over in Birmingham in the CM Newton Classic. I went over there and took that one in. Surprise, surprise, rebounding the problem once again with a loss for Alabama. Nate Oates likes to spread that. You know, Arizona beats Alabama 22-3 on the offensive boards.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And but Nate Oates lays it on the guards as much as the bigs because of the way he spreads the floor with bigs that can shoot. So yeah. to him, they all got to get in there and get some of them rebounds.
Yeah, it's tough though, man. Arizona is legit. That was my biggest takeaway. I mean, we know Alabama has deficiencies, starting with, what you just talked about with the rebounding. But that Alabama team, if they just didn't knock down 15 plus threes against that Arizona team, it wasn't going to happen in Birmingham. And Nate schedules up. There's no doubt about it. To me, the two best teams I've seen this season are Arizona and Michigan, and it's pretty clear that they're the two. I know Purdue's very old, very good in its own right. I think Duke will have a chance to be there, although they're more one-player driven, it feels like. But for Alabama, I think it's just going to be a thing that's just going to be an issue. I don't know how you magically fix that. I know, as they get more guys back, not just healthy, but playing more minutes, it should improve. But there's just going to be matchups for Alabama that I don't think work. And Florida is going to be a tough matchup again because of Florida size, I think. Alabama should have a pretty good edge in the guard department when that one comes around. But that's why in the NCAA tournament, seeding is so overvalued. It's more about what you draw, because what you draw is the matchups. Mm-hmm. And I think Alabama is going to be heavily dependent on that.
There's no doubt. A lot of guys out or not quite right with injuries. And it's kind of a mass unit this season. It's like every time you turn around, somebody else has got some kind of ailment. So at least it can be said that Nate Oates really hadn't had all his guys healthy on the floor at one time, really for the most part, all season long. Aiden Holloway, not quite right with a wrist. I think he's going to be all right against South Florida here tomorrow. And, of course,
Brian Hodgson, bringing another team.
Yes.
I agree with you on Holloway. When he's turning down threes on the catch,
yeah,
that tells me the wrist isn't there,
Quite there yet. And Amari Allen's dealing with a hip pointer. I like his game. I think when he's right, he's going to help them a lot. He's bigger than I thought he was. Yeah. Got to see him play up close.
Latrell Sprewell to him a little bit. He doesn't mind trading paint. He doesn't mind doing everything that it takes to win. I like him too.
All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Talking Tide podcast. Be sure to rejoin Travis and I on the back end, I guess, let's do a live programming note, Travis. Sunday night's, Sunday night's not going to work for me, as you know. Yeah. I'll be incapacitated. We'll either have to pod either Saturday night or Monday night. One of those two.
Some of us can go to a Sunday night coolie show and still do the show. Some of us
cannot. That's right.
In the words of Nick Saban, they don't make them like they used to.
No. You would not want your podcast partner after a mic.
Might need a translator. Yeah. No, it's all good. Yeah.
All right. We'll either do it Saturday night or Monday night, more than likely. Keep an eye on the Twitter feed. We'll work it out. Let you know when we're going to be back.
Absolutely.
All right. For Travis Ryer, I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News. We will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tide.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.